John chapter 18, we'll read 6 verses and we'll pray and we'll get into our sermon this evening. John chapter 18, let's start in verses 15 through 18. We'll read these verses together and then we'll drop down and read verses 25 through 27. All right, John chapter 18, verse 15 through 18. And Simon Peter followed Jesus. Let's all read these together. And so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus unto the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out the other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, who made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Then drop down to verse 25 through 27. And I know I didn't count right. It's 7 verses we'll be reading. But you know what? I'm a Baptist. I went to public school. I got an excuse. All right, verse 25 through 27. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. Thank you, Father, for this little incident in the life of Peter, and yet it seems to have defined him for so many years. I pray, dear God, you give us understanding, you give us ears to hear, help us to learn from the mistakes of someone else, someone who was very important to you and someone who loved you and was consecrated to you. Bless us, dear God, I ask, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now here we read of the failure of one of the greatest Christians who ever lived. His name is Peter, and he is mentioned as many times in the New Testament as the Apostle Paul. Nearly 150 verses speak of Peter's salvation, his call to the ministry, his personal life, as well as his failures and victories. Peter walked on water. He raised the dead, was given visions, and you even read of him speaking numerous times when it would have been best if he remained silent. He was rebuked by Jesus, rebuked by the Apostle Paul, and even used a sword to defend the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was unusually controversial, amazingly colorful, completely human, yet he was deeply consecrated and one chosen by our Lord to be the leader of the apostolic band. He was a great Christian, and he had tremendous courage when hanging around the right crowd. However, when he hung around the crowd by the wrong fire, he was unmistakably cowardly. You know the story, and it's both tragic and yet true. It's one of failure, falling short, and being faint-hearted. While I never enjoy reading the failure of God's people in the Bible, I must admit I have found them helpful as I have learned some lessons from them. You see, when I read of Moses, him losing his cool and striking the rock twice, I'm reminded of the consequences of anger getting the best of me. In David, I see the importance of what I look at. And with Peter, I think of the influence a wrong crowd can have on me. Yes, God put these things in his word as in samples, and they are written for our admonition. That means they ought to get our attention. It ought to be a clear warning to us that we should not repeat the mistakes of those that are found in the scriptures. So with this in mind, I want to bring a message on warming yourself by the wrong fire. Warming yourself by the wrong fire. Jesus had already predicted that Peter would deny him three times. He tells Peter at the Last Supper, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." Yet Peter replies, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Yet his move to warm himself by the wrong fire and associating with the wrong crowd set him up to do what he had admittedly denied just hours earlier. When Peter was amongst the followers of Christ and enjoying the Lord's presence, he was as bold as a lion. But when he warmed himself with the enemies of Jesus, his behavior betrayed his earlier beliefs as he lies and denies ever knowing the one that he once confessed was the Christ of God. First, the servant girl asked him, "Art not thou also one of this man's disciples?" Now, the way the question is framed, she was basically saying it in such a way that she expected a negative response, and that is what she got from Peter when he said, "I am not." Then by the fire, he was approached again by another servant girl who asked the same question and was as well anticipating a negative response. Well, Peter did not disappoint. He denied knowing Christ and being a disciple. The third time, Peter was questioned by one of Malchus's relatives. This was the guy whose ear was cut off by Peter when he was attempting to cut off his head with a sword as they arrested his Lord. When the kinsman of Malchus said, "Did I not see thee in the garden?" he framed that question expecting a yes answer. After all, he would have gotten a good look at Peter, who was responsible for harming his relative. By this time, others were questioning Peter's denial, and his Galilean accent certainly wasn't helping his cause. So he begins to curse. He begins to swear. And he says, "I know not this man of whom you speak." And then the cock crew, and Peter was reminded of the Lord's words, and he went out and wept bitterly. Now I want you to know that Peter was a saved man, but here we read of him denying the Lord three times. Peter wasn't some heathen unbeliever. He had been with the Savior now for 3.5 years. He heard the Lord's sermons. He heard the parables. He saw Jesus perform many miracles. But he was warming himself at the wrong fire, and now he's a coward. Peter was won to Christ by his brother Andrew. When Andrew heard John the Baptist say, "Behold the Lamb of God," he went to Peter to tell him that he had found the Savior. And we read these words in John 1:42. "He," speaking of Andrew, "brought him," speaking of Peter, "to Jesus." It was a great day in the life of Peter when he came to Jesus. For on that day he was born again. His sins were forgiven. His name would now never be removed from the Lamb's book of life. He was on his way to heaven. Eternal life was his present possession. While his salvation, like all others, is instantaneous, there is no such thing as instant spirituality, nor of living sinlessly in these bodies of flesh. Does not Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20 tell us, "For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Certainly we ought to understand that the best Christian is nothing more than a saved sinner. And when we are not in fellowship of the saints, and when we do not heed the word of God, there is no telling what we are capable of doing. Peter was saved, but his behavior here was sorry when he warmed himself by the wrong fire. Peter had previously resolved to follow the Lord. And we read this in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 through 20. "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. While we read this, I don't think we often really put much thought into what took place in this event. Yet this event was life-changing for Peter. When Jesus said, follow me, I will make you fishers of men, Peter turns his back on his business, his means of making a living and providing for his family, and he did so without any hesitation at all. He left his boat, his nets, and the catch he had for that day all behind to follow Jesus wherever he would go. He didn't say, well, Jesus, wait till I sell off my business assets first. Or, you know what, I better check with the wife and see if it's okay with her. You see, he didn't say, give me a few days to think about it. Now, while Peter was impetuous at times, he wasn't about to let our Lord's request go unheeded or have any delay in response to it. He right then and there on the Sea of Galilee devoted himself to follow the Lord and to serve him for the rest of his life. There can be no doubt that he was a sincere believer. He was one who was willing to pay a price to be an earnest servant of the Lord. He was no average believer. He was above most and proved it by giving Jesus the preeminence that he deserves. Peter was the leader of the apostles. He was given the keys of the kingdom of heaven. This by no means has anything to do with Peter standing at the gate of heaven, granting or denying access to that wonderful place prepared for the people of God. The keys given to Peter were to be used to open a door of faith to both the Jews and to the Gentiles. He did that when he preached to the Jews on Pentecost and when he went to the house of Cornelius and gave them the gospel which they believed. He did not have the keys any more than John, any more than Paul, or any more than any one of us today. He simply was favored by the Lord in using them first. He was part of what is known as the inner circle disciples, along with the brothers James and John. It was these three that went with the Lord to go into Jairus' home and watch Jairus' daughter be raised from the dead. These three were also on the Mount of Transfiguration where Christ's deity showed through his humanity. And it was these three who were in the Garden of Gethsemane, went a little bit further and were told by Jesus, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. These three happened to be closer to the Lord than the rest. Peter never dreamed that he would be unfaithful. Listen to what he says in Matthew 26, verse 31 through 33. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. You know what Peter is saying there? He's saying, Jesus, you can count on me, even if you can't rely on anybody else in the entire world. I made a sterner stuff than the rest of these guys. And he even says this in Luke 22, 33. I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. Now, Peter certainly meant well, and he could not envision himself being offended because of his Lord. Yet when he warmed himself by the wrong fire, we read of his cowardly denial of Jesus. Peter was no wishy-washy believer. He wasn't on one minute and off the next. He was all in. And while he had moments when he engaged his mouth before his brain, He loved Jesus and was an avid follower of Christ. He was excited that he was saved. He was thrilled at the opportunity to serve his Lord. He listened intently to what Jesus said. He trusted the Lord, saw him do many mighty acts, and he was convinced that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh and addressed Jesus as Lord. He was faithful to Jesus for over 3 years. Yet when he warmed himself by the wrong fire, we see him failing, his commitment faltering, and he seems to have fizzled out. So what happened? What happened to this one who just earlier said, "You can count on me"? He said, "You know what, James and John? You know what, Thomas and Judas and the James the Less and those other disciples? You know what, they may be offended because of you. I know them. They're not like I am. They may be offended because of you, but I won't be. You can count on me. I'll even die for you, Lord." Well, when he heard the voices of hostility raging against Jesus and witnessed the events taking place at the high priest's house, and he understood it was their intent to put Jesus to death, Peter realized that if I am connected with my Lord, things aren't going to go well for me. And so he was looking after saving his own skin. Now he could have stood up for his Lord, but instead he folded like a cheap suit in cowardly fashion. In fear for his life, he did what he had to do. And this one who was so bold in his profession of loyalty was brought low by the crowd because he warmed himself by the wrong fire. When they questioned him about being with Jesus, he denied having anything to do with him. Now, he still belonged to Jesus. His courage now was lacking. Fear had now taken place and overrode his faith. And while he caved to the pressure of the crowd that he was with, denied the Lord 3 times, there can be no question. Peter was a genuine believer who simply tarnished his testimony greatly by this one cowardly act. While warming himself by the wrong fire with the wrong crowd, the convictions he once held to were not supported with courage. He became weak and was not able to demonstrate genuine Christian faith in adversity. My point is, if an outstanding Christian such as Peter can blow it in such a short period of time, why don't we learn that it is important that we avoid warming ourselves by the wrong fire with the wrong crowd? I remember nearly 25 years ago, I was invited to go to lunch with someone that I worked for. Now, I agreed to go, and when we arrived at the restaurant, several of his friends were there. I did not know that, but the conversation at the table was less than wholesome. And I quickly realized, this ain't my crowd. Since I didn't drive there, I couldn't excuse myself and leave, which I wanted to do. I was subjected to all kinds of filth. Mercifully, the time came to leave. And one at the table made the comment that if I hung around them for 6 months, I'd be out of the ministry, I'd be divorced, and I'd be just like that crowd around the table. Well, I thought to myself, you don't have to concern yourself with that, for I'm through with warming myself by the wrong fire with the wrong crowd. For this is the only time I will be roped into doing such a thing. This guy understood something that many Christians fail to grasp, and that is evil communications corrupt good manners. Now, the word communication means companionship, or those that you hang with and communicate with. Well, there are those who don't believe this. This verse starts off with, be not deceived. In plain language, you cannot lie down with dogs and not get fleas. If you don't believe that, just ask Peter. I guarantee you, he wished he had not been by that fire with the enemies of Jesus Christ. He would tell us to heed what Psalm 1 tells us. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He would tell us what is written in 2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore come out from among them and be as separate, saith the Lord. He would say, you stay with God's people. And while you're in the world, you're not to be part of it. Don't get comfortable with those who oppose Christ if you don't want to be conformed to them or ruin your testimony in the process. You may think, it won't happen to me. I read my Bible every day. I communicate with the Lord constantly. I'm in the church faithfully. I got solid rock-ribbed scriptural positions. Me and Jesus, we got a good thing going. And even if I were to be the only one who is willing to stand up for Christ, I would do so. I'm willing to die for the one who died for me. Okay, Peter. You say that in the midst of others of like faith and practice. You may believe that when you're in the Lord's house, but are you that bold when you're warming yourself by a strange fire in the midst of God's enemies? What will your courage be like then? How strong will your faith be when faced with fear? When one is in the wrong place with the wrong crowd, chances are they're going to do the wrong thing. Being at the wrong fire may seem innocent enough, but it will require compromise, and the guilt for doing so will come shortly. It's more likely to burn you than warm you. Stay away from strange fires. Do not warm yourself by the fire with the heathen. You say, preacher, I don't see what the big deal is. You know, I hang around with who I want, the wrong crowd. They're not saved. They don't love the Lord. It hasn't affected me. Then why is it that you look like them? Why do you talk like them? Why do you dress like them? Your very presence among them tells me that you have learned the way of the heathen and have denied the faith that you are to practice. Have you not read, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall? Your fraternizing and your fellowship certainly speak more loudly than your statement of faith does when you are warming yourself by the wrong fire. It's too bad. So many believers fail to heed the words of the Savior when he said in John 15, 18, and 19, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. The world hates Christ. They hate all who identify with him. The only way we are accepted by them is to warm ourselves by their fire and then to deny that we know him and his people. I know I'm no Peter, and if he couldn't handle being warmed by the wrong fire amongst the wrong crowd, I'll admit I can't either. His failure is heart-rending, and so many others are as well. But one thing Peter did was to walk away and never return. You see, while it is unwise to judge Peter's life on this one event, and it is certain it left a black mark on his testimony, and it isn't easily forgotten, we are blessed to know the rest of his story. When you read of Peter leaving the wrong fire, it says he wept bitterly. This is the difference between good Christians and mediocre believers. Some will fail and sin against God grievously, and it doesn't seem to be too big of a deal. But for others, it is absolutely devastating. While Peter may have thought his days of usefulness was over as a believer, and his testimony was beyond repair, it would be only 3 days later when the risen Christ would send a message by his angels. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. These words would mean so much to Peter as our Lord was reminding him that his failure at the wrong fire isn't final. And the sorrow and confession he made meant that he could still be useful in the service of the Master once again. He would be one who would stand and boldly proclaim the gospel at Pentecost, and 3,000 souls were saved that day. He would be one who would write 2 epistles of the New Testament, and that was after this event. Maybe there's some among us. You are a believer. You've been warming yourself by the wrong fire with the wrong crowd. You tainted your testimony, and you wonder if you could ever be of use to the Savior after what you have done. Or maybe you haven't verbally denied knowing Jesus, but by your actions and affiliations, you definitely have done so. So why not be a good Christian? Why not leave that fire and that crowd? Show some remorse. Confess that sin. Jesus will take you back from the world, and he'll use you to do a work for him once again. You don't have to stay. You can and ought return like Peter, and you ought to learn your lesson well. You know, if you haven't gone that route, learn from Peter, and don't go that route. Do not warm yourself by strange fire. Remember this: birds of a feather flock together. You are who your friends are. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed. Warming yourself by the wrong fire.